From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College,
this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
Welcome to War News Radio. I'm Alex Kingsley. This week, we bring you the first episode of Filibusted and explore the issue of disenfranchisement laws for convicted felons.
How's the stress of midterms going?
Pretty terrifying, but when modern-day fascism is on the horizon, it really puts things into perspective. I may fail all my classes, but at least November 8th isn't here yet and the nuclear apocalypse is not upon us.
Ugh, I know. The election is so important, but in a swing state like Pennsylvania, I feel like I should just be walking around with a permanent sign that says, "Registered voter, don't you worry."
Yeah, the constant question about voter registration can get really annoying, but hey, at least we can vote. Lots of people in this country can't. I come from Virginia, where the Supreme Court just shot down the executive order that allowed felons to vote. I saw the effects of felon disenfranchisement firsthand, and it was infuriating.
Well, doesn't it make sense that felons can't vote? I mean, a crime was committed. How can they expect to be trusted?
I see where you're coming from. People generally seem scared about a murderer getting the chance to vote. You're not going to go up to Ted Bundy and be like, "Hey, what do you think of Hillary Clinton?" But don't you realize the extent of crimes that get classified as felons and the systemic inequalities in the system?
You know, that's true. Felons can include vandalism, liquor law violation, disorderly conduct, and of course, drugs, one of the most common felony convictions in the U.S. But does that mean just because you smoke weed in some states, you shouldn't get the right to vote?
And that doesn't even begin to consider wrongful convictions. A recent study shows that there are about 10,000 wrongful convictions of serious crimes in the U.S. every year. So 10,000 people lose their right to vote for doing literally nothing.
Okay, we'll give felons the right to vote, but first they need to prove they can be good citizens. They committed a crime, now it's about waiting the time.
Contrary to popular belief, becoming a felon isn't often a choice. And once you're in the system, it can be incredibly difficult to get out. Take the case of Kelly Jo Griffin. She was a low-level felon whose crime didn't even hurt anyone directly. She lives in Iowa, which has some of the most stringent felon voting laws in the country. Recently, felons had actually gained the right to vote, so after years of disenfranchisement, she could finally make her voice heard. But then a new governor was elected and the law was repealed. But here's the fun part. They never told the felons. So when Kelly Jo went to vote again, she was arrested for fraud and perjury.
So essentially, people are being repeatedly screwed over by the system, and they don't have a say in the system because it was the system that screwed them over in the first place.
On that note, I think it's time to throw back to the Reconstruction era when this all began.
Following the emancipation of slaves, several southern states, primarily governed by white males, had an existential crisis. How could the law continue to justify their discrimination? Convenient for them, they realized if you build a system that's inherently racist, you have to do less of the work yourself. Many of these states tailor their disenfranchisement laws to bar black male voters, specifically targeting offenses believed to be committed largely by the black population. Convicted of burglary, theft, or arson? Consider your vote gone. But don't worry, murder someone and you can still vote. The author of Alabama's disenfranchisement provision estimated that the crime of wife beating alone would disqualify 60% of black males, a truly logical policy that would disenfranchise a man for beating his wife, but not for killing her.
That is pretty terrible. But things have changed, right? Our laws can't still be racist, can they?
One would like to hope the system has changed. But no, we just got used to racist ideologies being deeply embedded in our society. According to the Sentencing Project, an estimated 5.85 million Americans are prohibited from voting due to laws that disenfranchise citizens convicted of felony offenses, with one in every 13 black adults disenfranchised nationally.
And part of the reason for that is that the war on drugs is, oddly, still a thing. Even though Nixon's advisors have actually admitted that it was just a scheme to get black people and liberals arrested, we are still sending in SWAT teams for drug busts and we're still disenfranchising people over it. All the stuff about why getting rid of drugs is so important, they made it up, which is ridiculous. We're basing our legal system on a work of fiction. That's like if we replaced our entire constitution with the text of The Princess and the Pea. It's an interesting story, but it's made up and it definitely shouldn't have any importance when it comes to telling people whether or not they can vote.
Even when we've tried to change disenfranchisement laws, it sees the systems too rigid to sway. Take the case of Virginia. This past April, the Democratic governor passed an executive order allowing felons to vote. People who had been disenfranchised for decades were finally getting their basic right restored, and they could finally feel like citizens. This July, the Virginia Supreme Court overturned it.
From April to July? That's 3 months. 3 months of summer. That's not even long enough to vote on anything. Giving someone a right that they should have had all along and then taking it away immediately after is terrible. That's like giving a child a birthday present that they've always wanted and then setting it on fire right before their eyes. Happy birthday, Timmy. My gift to you is a life lesson about institutionalized oppression.
But seriously, though, a lot of people were affected by this. The governor talked about one man he registered to vote who had been in jail since he was 19. 60 years later, at the age of 79, he could finally vote for the first time in his life. And now that right is gone. Again.
Okay, this is just illogical and immoral. But surely other countries must have similar laws about felons voting. It's not like America is alone in doing this, right?
Oh no, it is. The United States has more strict post-release restrictions than most other countries, including Russia. Russia. If your country is violating human rights more than Russia is, that's a time to step back and look at where you've gone wrong.
Okay, there must be some light at the end of the tunnel, though. We have 50 states. One of them must be doing something in the right direction.
Didn't think I'd say this, but why can't we be more like California and be a shining beacon of progressive legislation on voting rights? A few weeks ago, Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill that would allow thousands of felons in county jails to vote in California elections. Assemblywoman Shirley Weber, Democrat San Diego, said California is setting an example at a time when other states are trying to limit voting rights. According to her, civic participation can be a critical component of reentry and has been linked to reduced recidivism.
This may seem like a lengthy history education, a guilt trip on our country's long history of institutional racism in order to remind you about the importance of your vote, but in actuality, that is totally what this is.
5.85 million people, many of whom are current felons or in the system because of punitive, unnecessary laws or wrongful convictions, cannot exercise their right to vote to change the system that has entrapped them. You have a vote. You can vote for issues that matter to you or issues that don't matter to you but just need changing. So hopefully we'll see you on November 8th.
War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College. Visit us online to listen to archived shows, learn more about our program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's warnewsradio.org. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter to keep up between shows and let us know what you think. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.